Bow down to pray. Heavenly Father, I come by the blood of the Lord Jesus confessing my sins. Lord, I ask for fresh mercy and grace and the help of your Holy Spirit. Father, it has never been of him that willeth nor of him that willeth, but to whom you show mercy. That your mercy will help me to be faithful, steward of the mysteries of the gospel. As I stand before your people, Lord God, you will help me to multiply the little that I have brought today. There will be much left over by your mercy and grace in the name of Jesus Christ. As we go into your word, let your word go forth in power, in accuracy, in clarity, in simplicity, in the comfort and love of the Holy Spirit. Cause our wills to become more humble, our minds to further enlighten with the revelation that comes from your word today, and our emotions further controlled and tempered by the power of the Holy Spirit. As your God goes forth, let it break yokes in our life. Let it cause needs to melt. Let it bring glory and praise to the Lord Jesus and blessings unto us, the sons of men. I also ask for sufficient grace to redeem the time, not to say things that are necessary. We come to thank you, Father. Lord, just thank you. Holy Spirit, thank you for all you are doing in our midst today. We give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. The title of my message this evening is Noah, Daniel, and Job. Let's say together, Noah, Daniel, and Job. I believe those of us that are conversant with the scriptures will know where this comes from. It's in Ezekiel chapter 14, let's read verse 14 and 20 in the Amplified Bible because of time. Ezekiel chapter 14. Verses 14 and 20 in the Amplified Bible. So let's read. Let me give you a background. At this time, this was about 5 years before Israel, you know, went to the captivity. And God has been raising up different prophets, you know, Jeremiah, Ezekiel is one talking there. This was just about 5 years before they went to captivity. Now, things had gotten so bad that there was no more room for them to repent because of the old nation had gone into idolatry, you know, to the kept on from the moment Jeroboam became king and built the golden calf, you know, one in Dan, one in Bethel. The Israel kept on going down and down. Judah had, God had mercy on Judah, who have some kings, but things were never the same as God planned it to be. That's why God will always refer to David, each king that came without David. So at this time, Ezekiel began to speak to the Israelites. And God spoke to him this particular scripture. And he said, let's read together, if these three men, Noah, say Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, that is in Israel, they would not save but their own lives by their righteousness, their uprightness and right standing with me, says the Lord God. Verse 20. He repeats the same thing. He said, though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, said the Lord God, they will never, neither son nor daughter, deliver neither son nor daughter, but deliver their own lives by their righteousness, their moral and spiritual rectitude in every area and relation. What I want us to see is this. You see, for Israel at this time, God has said there is no turning back. That was too late. The judgment for Israel was set. They were destined to go to Babylon. But you see, I brought out this message by the grace of God is that God now singled out three people in the whole of Israel. And he said, even though Noah, Daniel, and Job, you know, referring to what they allowed God to do in their own generation, that even if you should pray or plead for them, that they can't come back again. But what I want us to see is this, why did God single out Noah, Daniel, and Job? So as we go into the scriptures today, I'm trusting God to help us to see certain things about these people. They were not perfect people. We know they were not perfect. The only person that we don't have anything negative written against him is Daniel. Are you with me? But in spite of their infirmities, in spite of their weaknesses, God said, single them out. I said, if these three people, if they stand before me, I won't change my mind. So I want us to see by the help of the Holy Spirit why God singled them out as we go to the scriptures. And I want to give some a basis for the things we are going to be teaching today. Romans chapter 15 verse 4 in the Amplified Bible. Romans chapter 15 verse 4. Let's read together. For whatever was thus written in former days was written for our instruction, that by what? A steadfast and patient endurance and the encouragement, say, drawn from the scriptures, we might hold fast to and cherish our hope. God says, King James says, through the faith and comfort of the scriptures, we might have hope. So when you look at the life of Noah, you look at the life of Daniel, you know, you look at the whole actually, like the life of Job. Job had serious problems, both within and outside. The wife said, curse God and die. But yet, in spite of all that, God says, speaks about Job. He speaks about Noah. In spite of Noah, are you following me? He singles him out. So God wants to see something. And about Daniel too. Daniel, nothing negative was seen about him. But Daniel was in captivity. Enough to be discouraged. It wasn't because he sinned or anything. You know that story about, I think it was Hezekiah, that showed the palace to the king of Babylon. And I said, look, your children, you know, and the prince have been taken to Babylon, and they will make them eunuchs. It's enough to make all of them bitter. The Bible talks about Noah also. Noah, the Bible calls Noah a preacher of righteousness. So you can imagine you and your family preaching that it's going to rain, it's going to rain, it's going to rain. And it had never rained before. Just like we are telling you that these people, God's people, will enter the perfection and the fullness of Christ. And they are going to manifest the glory of God, that the glory of latter shall be greater than the former, that the works that I do, that Jesus Christ said, shall we do, and greater. And people are laughing at us. How can this be possible? It has never occurred before. Since the fathers fell asleep, this thing has never occurred. So you can imagine the ridicule that someone like Isaiah went through. When he said a virgin shall conceive, and he lived and died, and they buried, and some of those that heard him say it must have gone for his burial, so to speak, and say, is that not the end now of your prophecy? So let's look at another scripture to support this in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11 in the Amplified Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11, just to give a basis for what we are talking about. 1 Corinthians 10, 11 in the Amplified Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. Please kindly hurry up. Let's read. Now these things befell them by the way of a figure as an example and warning to us. They were written to admonish, and to fit us what? For right action by good instruction. We in whose days the ages have reached their climax, their consummation and concluding period. That's why God wrote these things for us. The last scripture is the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verses 15 to 17 in the Amplified Bible. 2 Timothy, just to give a basis for what we're going to be talking about today. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15 to 17 in the Amplified Bible. What does it say? Paul was talking to Timothy. I'm bringing this out so that we can understand why it is important for us and our children to train them to understand the scriptures. Because inside these scriptures, these types and shadows, the characters of the Bible are hidden prophetic shadows of our own lives and our own destiny. Bible says, you see, here a little, there a little. Praise the Lord. So it says, and how from your childhood you have had a knowledge of and been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to instruct you and to give you the understanding for what? Salvation, which comes through faith in Christ Jesus, through the leaning of the entire human personality on God in Christ Jesus, in absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom and goodness. Every scripture is God breathed, given by what is inspiration, and is profitable. And is profitable for instruction, for reproof and conviction of what? Sin. For correction of error and discipline in what? Obedience. And for training in what? Righteousness. In holy living, in conformity to God's will, in thought, purpose, and action. So that's why we have the scriptures. So now let's begin to look at it closely. We can have a better understanding. Like I said, what did God see in these three men that made him to single them out? There's a common thread that goes through three of them, and that is the word deliver. Say deliver or save. That's the common thing that goes through. God said that if these people, Noah, Daniel, and Job should stand from, they will not deliver. Say deliver. So that means they were deliverers from Mount Zion, so to speak, in their own time. Obadiah chapter 1, verse 21. Verse 21. Have mercy. And deliverers shall go up on Mount Zion to rule and judge Mount Esau, and the kingdom and the kingship shall be the Lord's. So why are we trying to talk about this? God in this end time is raising up deliverers from Mount Zion, like Noah, like Daniel, and like Job. And Let's read 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16 in the King James Bible. Just to keep another scripture behind our mind. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. What does it say? See, Paul was telling Timothy, you see, there's something we need to understand about God. I'm getting ahead of myself. God wants to save not just us, but our household. He wants to save our nation. He wants to save people. The Bible says God is not willing that any should perish. So Paul was telling Timothy, I said, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt what? Both save what? Thyself and them that hear thee. Praise the Lord. So it's very important. So now let's look at Noah. I put it here to summarize what we need to learn about Noah, why I believe God singled him out. We need to learn the reverential fear of Noah. Say reverential fear of Noah. Noah did a lot of things. We know he caused harm. You know he got drunk and all that. But there was something that God put in the scriptures in Hebrews chapter 11. Bible says he was moved with fear. But before we go there, Hebrews chapter 11, you can put it on the board, please. 11:31. Let me just read it. 11:7. Thank you. 11:7. Let's see. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with what? Fear. Prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness, which is by faith. Now let's look critically at Noah. God wants to save us, like I put in my notes, and our household through the building of the ark of divine love. Say, God wants to save us and our household through the building of the ark of divine love. You see, we know the story of Noah. God told him, we don't know that God appeared to him. He said God spoke to him. And he told him that, look, I'm about to do something that never occurred before. It's going to rain. And I want you to begin to build the ark. You know, he gave me the dimensions of the ark. But what I want to say is that Hebrews said that Noah moved with fear. Not fear of the devil, but reverential fear. Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. Because of that fear, he was able to download instructions to build the ark. And the Lord Jesus Christ says something about this end time, which is where we are exactly. He says that in the end time, Matthew chapter 24, verses 37 to 39, he started talking about the end time. It was likely the time of Noah. You see, because the time of Noah, you know, somewhere in the New Testament, he said Noah was a preacher of righteousness. He kept on preaching and telling people, a flood is coming, a flood is coming, a flood is coming. But nobody listened to him. They laughed him to scorn. That look, nothing has ever occurred. Because up till that time, he had never rained before. The Bible, it was a steam used to come out from the ground to water the ground from the earth. The Bible says so. He had never rained before. Somebody had never seen it before. So there was no way he himself could describe what God told him. Only to act in faith and say, this is what God said. Matthew chapter 24, verses 37 to 39. What does it say? So Lord Jesus was talking. He said, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Next verse. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until that day that Noah entered into the ark. Next verse. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. But you see, if you link those scriptures, I said, Hebrews and this particular one. But Noah saved his own household. When a time of abounding iniquity, Matthew chapter 24, verse 12 says, in this end time, it says, iniquity will abound and the love of men wax cold. I follow him. But we see here that in Noah's time, it was a natural flood that came. But no, in this end time, it's a flood of abounding iniquity. And the Bible says that Noah did what? He built this ark. It was a physical ark of gopher wood that he built. And he was able to save his entire household. I want you to notice something. He was the only one that had instructions. His wife probably didn't understand. His children probably didn't understand. The wives of his three sons probably didn't understand. But one good thing about them is they were submissive to their father. That was why, because they should have never experienced it before. Are you following me? So that was how God was able to save them. Now, the promise of God towards the end time, what I'm saying is this, is because I want us to be encouraged. Mommy has been talking recently about the spirit of this age. It's a spirit that makes people behave in things that you can't even think that when we were young, like from 10, 15 years ago, we dare not think about doing it. But nowadays, you see people behave like that with impunity. And then if you're not careful, either as a parent, are you following me? Or because of things we see going on in our nation, it is possible to lose hope. And you begin to wonder, can these things happen? Noah went through the same problem. I follow me. But he kept on, perhaps he was moved with fear. That is not trepidation, but it was the fear of the Lord. Are you following me? So what happened? 2 Timothy chapter 3, let's see, verses 1 to 4 in the Amplified Bible to give us a picture of what we are going through in the end time. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. 2 Timothy chapter 3, let's read in Amplified Bible, please. Thank you. But understand this, that in the last days will come, say, set in perilous times of great stress and trouble, hard to deal with and hard to bear. Everybody can bear witness to that. Next verse. For people will be lovers of self and utterly self-centered, lovers of money and aroused by an inordinate greedy desire for wealth, proud and arrogant and contemptuous boasters. They will be abusive, blasphemous, scoffing, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy and profane. Next verse. They will be without natural human affection, callous and inhuman, redentless, admitting of no truth or appeasement. They will be slanderers, false accusers, troublemakers, intemperate and loose in morals and conduct, uncontrolled, fierce haters of God. That is not to make anybody afraid. I for me, it's the spirit of the age that is behind this thing. You see, in the time of now, God said he was very sorry, sad that they had made man. You see, the same thing was occurring at that time. The Bible says the sons of men were going on the sons of were mind the daughters of sons of God were mind the sons of daughters of men. I follow me. So a lot was going on, and God was very disappointed because that was not God's program for Adam, but because of the fall of man, things started deteriorating. And in the midst of that, Bible says Noah found grace. Now the promise of God to us can be found in Acts. We are talking about saving our family. Acts chapter 16, verse 31. Where God, through Paul, was telling the Philippian jailer. What did he tell him? He says that, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. That is, in spite of the abounding iniquity, in spite of what is going on. You see, in those days, I give the example, you know, there were no cell phones, there were no, you know, it was a bit difficult for you. You have to really go out of your way to go and sin. But now, like God told Cain, he says, sin light at the door. Now, it's very easy because they are bound in liquid for people to sin. It's everywhere. If they're going to advertise a bottle of cocoa, even water, pure water, it might be a woman that is wearing a bikini that will only ordinary pure water. That's why they're selling for 10 naira. Why? So you that maybe you don't want to drink pure water. Are you following me? Or even it's rat poison. That you don't need rat poison. You'll be lured into buying it because of the woman that is holding it. Are you following me? So that is the kind of thing that our children and we ourselves are facing. But God has an answer for us. So mom also mentions that talks about Rahab. We know so of Rahab that put down the scarlet robe. And because of that, Rahab not only saved herself, but you see, he also saved her entire family. I don't know, she was a prostitute. Are you following? But all of these people, they have one thing, a good heart. That in spite of the challenges they had, God still used them. Praise the Lord. So let me explain what we're talking about. I said that Noah prepared the ark, and the ark we're talking about is the ark of love, the love of God. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Let's read before we continue. 1 Timothy 1, verse 5. It says that the end of the commandment is what? Charity. In what charity there is agape. The end of the commandment is what? Love out of a pure heart, of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned. Why did I read the scripture ahead of what I'm about to say? Some years back, when Papa Kelly came here, he said something while he was prophesying. He said that the seed is saved because the end is secure. Let's say together. The seed is saved because the end is secure. Now, what is the end? The end is the love of God. Which you can see here. Say now the end. Say the end of the commandment is what? Love out of what? A pure heart, out of a good conscience, and our faith unfeigned. Then some weeks later, Pastor came and I expounded. And he said that if you will, by the grace of God, secure the end of the commandment, which is love, you will save your seed. Are you following me? If you will secure the end of the commandment, which is the perfection of the love of God, you will automatically save your seed. That is exactly what Noah did by building the ark of love. None of the children understood. You can see traces of the attitudes of the children when their father got drunk and Ham began to make fun of his father. So you can already see that his children must have, what you saw there was a snippet of the kind of, he didn't just develop that character that day. He must have been ridiculing his father, even, but the Bible didn't mention, but that thing just didn't just happen that day. Are you with me? So, but in spite of, are you following me? God, through the building of the ark of love by their father, are you getting me? Saved the children and the wife also. Praise the Lord. So, Songs of Solomon chapter 8, verse 7. In the Old Testament, it was a natural ark that they built of gopher wood. But in the New Testament, we are not building a physical ark to save anybody, but the spiritual ark of the love of God. Songs of Solomon chapter 8, verse 7. What does it say? Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. If a man will give all the substance of his house for love, he will not hardly be contempt. So what we want to say is that many waters cannot drown love. Just like the floods that came in time of Noah could not drown Noah's ark. That flood kept on raising him up and raising him and family up and took them above the abounding iniquity, so to speak, at that time. I would say that the flood came and took them away. But what I also see is, in spite of whatever we see in our families, in our homes, in our spouses, if we will take time to secure the end of the commandment, which is the perfection of the love of God, we are bound by the grace of God to save our household. Praise the Lord. Because I believe that there's nobody that, I don't think we have anybody that is really, really bad, like, I don't know, I can't remember, that's so bad in the Bible, you know. So, but most of them are under pressure. Most of them are because of the infirmities of the flesh. I follow the weakness of the sin nature in the flesh. That's why you see them do the things they do. Our times to try and explain something, they say, we will not understand it. They will know, what is this one? Daddy, this is old school. Nobody does this again. You know, that kind of thing. Praise the Lord. So, how do we attain unto this by the grace of God? Let us see from the life of Noah, basically what Pastor has taught us. Noah daily chose the fear of God, which is honesty and humility. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. We've read it already. We don't need to turn there. It's that Noah was moved by faith, you know, to the preparing of the ark, to the saving of his household. The next thing we see Noah do that talks about Noah is that Noah found grace in the midst of abounding iniquity. Genesis chapter 6, verse 8. Talks about Noah finding grace. Genesis chapter 6, verse 8. Let's go there. But Noah found what? Grace in the eyes of the Lord. In the midst of all that was going on, the Bible says that Noah found grace in the midst of the abounding iniquity, like I said earlier on. Matthew 24, verse 12. No need to turn there. Now, what did the grace do for Noah? You see, we are talking now, we are looking at the type in the Old Testament, and we are trying to bring out the sense in the New Testament, where they said that the ark is the ark of love, the love of God, perfection of the love of God. So, but for you to perfect love of God, you need the grace of God, because it takes grace of God to perfect the love of God. Bible says that God is not unrighteous to forget your work and your labor of love. So what did he need grace for? The Apostle Paul says something in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 15. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10. He said, I have labored more than thee, yet not I, but the grace of God was with me. So, in the Old Testament, no one needed grace to build that ark he had to build, because it was specific measurements, 300 cubits, 30 in the height and everything, which are symbols and types of what we are doing today. But he needed the grace of God to be able to labor, because it wasn't easy for him with natural to go and cut the wood, you know, to follow the exact measurements, you know, to gather all the animals together, you know, and then bring them in such a way that they will not hurt each other, prepare the food they will eat, and all that with the help of his children. Are you following me? So he built a physical ark. But in the New Testament, for you to perfect the love of God, it takes labor. Spiritual labor in the place of prayer, while you draw life and all those things that Pastor has taught us. So he needed the grace of God to do what? To perfect the love of God. That's what he did. In the midst of the abounding iniquity. Romans chapter 5, verse 20. Romans 5, 20, please. Say, moreover, the law entered that offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. So Noah at that time had abounding grace in the midst of the abounding iniquity of his times. And that was why he was able to build. You see, for us to perfect love of God, we don't need just ordinary grace. We need more and more grace to perfect the love of God in lives. Praise the Lord. So it's very important. The next time the Bible talks about Noah, he said, Noah walked with God. Say, Noah walked with God. Genesis 6, verse 9. Genesis 6, 9. Thank you, Lord. Say, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in the generation. He wasn't perfect in terms of without the sin nature. He had a good heart. And Noah did what? Walked with God. Say, Noah did what? Walked with God. So we can see the things that Noah did. which is what we should be doing this end time, which if we do, we'll be able to save our family and our household. The Bible says that Noah, by the grace of God, that Noah walked in the fear of God. This one says that Noah, you know, build the ark, which is the type of the love of God. Now, is that Noah begins to walk with God in Genesis chapter 6, verse 9. What does it mean to walk with God? That talks about our daily walk in the spirit. Like the Bible said, Enoch walked with God and it was taken. So the Bible said Noah also walked with God. And what happened? It was that process of walking with God. Before he started walking, it wasn't when he gave birth to his children that he started walking. He had been walking with God on and on and on and on. So by the time God spoke to him, are you following me? He had now started building the ark. And when he built the ark, he was able to bring all his family in. So that I want us to see that about Noah today. About the aspect of being moved daily by the fear of God. Being moved daily, that is, he did not delay. Like Abraham, when God spoke to him and said, leave your family immediately. You see, when we delay, or to the degree that we delay obeying of God's instructions, the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. It shows that our level of fear of the Lord is not at the level it ought to be. Because Noah could not afford to delay. Because God already set a time for the flood to come. So he couldn't linger like Lot. Because if he had lingered, the flood could have started. We didn't know when it was out. But immediately, God spoke to him without any evidence. He started preaching and telling people, this is going to happen. This is going to happen. Get your ass in order. But he left him to come. So now let's look at Daniel. Pastor has talked about the consecration of Daniel. Say the consecration of Daniel. God used Daniel to save and deliver the nation of Israel from Babylonian captivity through his intercession. That's what God did. Daniel was among the Hebrew boys that were taken to Babylon. It wasn't because of his fault. He had every reason to be bitter. He had every reason to blame his parents or grandparents for their sin. But see, he found himself in a situation that he did not plan for. Are you with me? So in getting there, instead of being sad or being bitter and offended, this man said he did what he purposed in his heart. Daniel symbolizes the end time Christian that is perfecting the love of God daily. Say, Daniel symbolizes the end time Christian that is daily perfecting God's love. We see as we continue from scriptures. In Daniel chapter 10, verse 11, when the angel appeared to him, he said, Daniel, a man greatly beloved. Are you with me? That's what the angel said. Say, and he said unto me, Daniel, a man God greatly beloved. So what does he mean by being greatly beloved? He's talking about how God views Daniel. We can see that from the example of John in the New Testament. John chapter 13, verse 23. John chapter 13, verse 23. When John the apostle was talking about himself, over and over in the book of John, he kept on saying the disciple that Jesus loved. The disciple that Jesus loved. Did I get the scriptures right? Please let me find it. In many places. Okay. Thank you. So now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of the disciples whom what? Jesus loved. That is the beloved. The beloved disciple. What does it mean to be God's beloved disciple? Let's open to John chapter 14, verse 21. It gives us a key why Daniel was beloved. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of what? My Father. I will love him and manifest myself to him. So you can understand why Daniel became beloved. He kept God's commandments in a very hostile environment. No temple to worship, nothing. He couldn't get animals to sacrifice. Are you with me? But in his heart, he kept the law of God. Are you following me? Without the ceremonial observances. And God said, a man greatly beloved. Why did God love him? Because he kept God's commandments at that time. All the things he had learned, you know, he kept doing it. So what am I saying? Wherever we find ourselves, you might find yourself working under Nebuchadnezzar. You might find yourself under Belteshazzar. You might find yourself in a strange land. It is no excuse for us, like the other Israelites, to misbehave. It is no excuse for us. So we need the consecration of Daniel for God to deliver the church from Babylonian captivity to spiritual immaturity. And also our nation from bad leadership. So that our nation and the church can fulfill its destiny. See, because at that time, over 3 million Jews, were taken captive by Nebuchadnezzar into Babylon. And God could only find 4 Hebrew boys, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Bible says God not limited to say by many or by few. Immediately others got there, they just took it easy. But anyway, now it's not our fault. At least there's anybody to blame. We can blame the kings that were before us. Let me enjoy my life. So the Bible didn't even mention anything about the other people. They lived and perished in Babylon. But this four Hebrew boys, but in particular Daniel, because I'm looking at Daniel today. You know what did Daniel do? The number one thing that Daniel did immediately he got to this strange land, it was that he purposed in his heart not to defile himself with the king's meat. You see, the things I'm bringing out in types and shadows are things that we are doing or we should be doing daily. When the Bible says that Daniel purposed in his heart that he will not defile himself with the king's meat, what that means is this: we daily set our wills to do the will of God. He didn't just do it one day, because each day the temptation will come for him to defile himself with the king's meat. But the man would determine is that I'm not going to do this, because God, in those days, they were told not to eat certain things and not to eat certain things. So we understand. But in context, as it applies to us, we must purpose in our daily not to defile ourselves with the king's meat. That's in Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. And that is done by setting our wills daily. So when we set our wills daily, we determine that we'll apply completely and apply diligently what the principles of perfection. Because if you don't set your will every day, you'll find out like it will be very easy for you to be led astray or to yield yourself to the flesh. Praise the Lord. So it's very important for us. The next thing that Daniel did was this: he prayed 3 times daily at the risk of his life. That's a character trait that we need to imbibe. We are talking about Noah, Daniel, and Job. These are the things that made this book stand out of the whole of Israel. Daniel chapter 6, verses 10 to 11. Daniel 6, 10 to 11. Say, now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees. Well, how many times? 3 times a day, and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. That he had a custom of praying regularly. That was his habit. You know that story when I said I hope nobody should bow to one particular idol, and then because of Daniel, Bible says that when Daniel knew that the decree was signed, when he knew, I follow me, then he opened his window again. He was not afraid of his life. You see, as Christians, we must be afraid. You see, some of us, maybe not all of us, probably are still struggling with the way we pray. That is, you can get to a place, you know, if they pray in the understanding, and then you just leave praying in tongues and travel aside and say, let me just do what everybody's doing. No. If Daniel had done that, changed his habit of praying, they would have killed him. It was that custom of praying as it was taught before he left Israel that he did that delivered him. That's why God was able to show himself strong on behalf, or else he would have been committing sins of omission in the place of prayer. Are you with me? So it's very important for us to see that. And then, apart from Daniel praying, he also did some. He had an understanding of the scriptures, which is very important. This brings us to the aspect of our daily Bible reading, our Bible study. You see, hidden in the Bible that we carry every day, that we read, are things concerning us and our lives. Woe to God that all of us will take the Bible seriously. We need to read the Bible. Bible says the Berean Christian, they search the scriptures daily. You do that when you read, you know, and then you meditate on the word. You study like we've been taught. You take a weekly rhema or daily rhema like this. You lay it aside. You open scriptures. You go to it. You see, Daniel had been reading the scriptures, had known the scriptures even before he came from Israel. But he never understood the purpose of God until that particular time. That means he never stopped. It was when the time came and it was his habit, like he prayed, and started going through the scripture, the things he had read before. I said, I understood by the books. The understanding never came before the time and the season came. The understanding came when the time and the season came. That's why at the Kairos moment, that's why you cannot say, okay, I've read Genesis now. I've read Genesis 1. I've read 1 Timothy over and over again, so I don't need to read it again. Then you start skipping it. No. There are things that when the appointed time comes, God will unveil the scriptures. Then you start wondering, is it what I've been reading? So that's what happened to Daniel. Daniel chapter 9, verses 2 to 3. Okay. It says, in the first year of the reign, we're talking about the king. It says, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the years. Thereof, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet that he will accomplish 70 years in desolations of Jerusalem. Next verse. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. You see, when he read, when the understanding came, when God opened the scripture that has been reading and reading and reading over, only God knows how many times he has read the scriptures, these particular scriptures. But when that time came, the understanding came to him. Bam. Now the question is this: was it only Daniel that God wanted to have his understanding? No, but the others were not conversant with the scripture. They were not reading the Bible. They did not take their daily Bible reading and their meditation on the word seriously. I don't want to go into exam. I'll give you countless times that is my daily Bible reading that some will just jump at me. Even to the extent that some things that are going to happen like this, God will speak to me. He amazes me. I don't want to give examples. He amazes me. There was time, you know, we had this this lockdown. I woke up, I was doing my normal prayer in the morning, you know, and then Lord spoke to me from when, I'm giving as an example, where they locked up Peter in jail. And yeah, I'm being honest. Lalu will bear me witness. As I was reading the Bible, it said that God sent an angel to Peter. And the angel opened the... I think it was Peter and John. He said, when they locked them, he said, go ye and stand in the temple and declare the words of this life. So mainly, it was a man of my Bible. Just I woke up, I prayed, I read my Bible, and when God spoke to me, immediately I understood what he meant. So I called Lalu Ubea Mute, right or wrong. I called him, I said, Pastor Lalu, I said, it's likely I'm going to preach on Sunday. I said, well, shh, keep quiet. I just want to tell you, this is what I think is going to happen. But keep quiet. If it doesn't happen, then I will know that it's only between me and you. So a few minutes later, I got a call from an angel. Yeah, over the house. He said, so and so, go and do so and so, and prepare for Sunday. I gave that as an example. God, Bible said, the Holy Spirit will show you things to come. Why did I give that example? Not to point attention to myself, but let us take our daily Bible reading and meditation. What if I did not read the Bible that day? So before I saw the result, I knew everything was okay. The result I saw was not based on what it tests. It was based on what God has spoken to me. Just like mommy had been praying, declaring ivermectin for treating COVID-19. Without any evidence. But now we know. It's now, you know, like some things that were sent to us today. But can you imagine? That was about believe your prophets, so shall you prosper. So when you begin to believe what they have said, even when you have not seen anything, I follow me, then you begin to experience. That's what is going to make you a particular force ahead of people. So while others are still looking for natural circumstances or in the natural secular world to declare what God is going to do, you already know. So you are like 10 times ahead of Satan and the world if you take it to the prophetic word. So why did I say that? Let's take our daily Bible reading very seriously. I can't give another example. I won't give another example again. Just while you're reading your Bible every day, God will begin to talk to you. And say, this is the person you are going to marry. But the wisdom is this, which is the wisdom between Joseph and Jacob. You see, Joseph had a dream, but he told his dream to his brothers and it put him into trouble. But his father Jacob too had a dream, but he kept quiet about the dream and just told what God told. That's the difference between a little child and a mature father. He didn't tell Laban. He didn't say, Laban, God has told me he's going to transfer. You get into big trouble. That's how God called. They both had dreams. But one was young and immature. So when God dropped something in her, Bible says, Mary pondered in her heart whether these things were so. Nobody had ever, a virgin had ever conceived before. So as he pondered, you know, God did not even tell Joseph. God didn't speak to Joseph. But see, the thing about this, either God speaks to you or doesn't speak to you, you walk in love. Joseph, when Joseph saw that Mary was pregnant, he said, being a just man, and being mindful, didn't want to make her a public shame. He said, while he was pondering on this thing, if it was someone I believe, I started stoning the woman. But, you disappointed me. We're engaged. You put me to shame. It was while he was pondering, an angel in a dream now told him, I said, this thing's of me. Are you with me? So it's very important. I said all that to say this. Please let's take our daily Bible reading seriously. Now, you may not see something that is wow every day, but stay at it. You never know. Man, God will open your scriptures, or even just by putting something inside you. The day you are going to need it, you will know. Then will just jump up to you. That scripture, God will now take a little here, journey to Isaiah, and then it cannot spell the next stage in your life for you. It's very important. So that Bible says, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So it's part of us to study. So we need, as I put in summary, to cite the scriptures daily, to study and meditate in the word, so we can discover what God has written concerning us. I'm not reading my Bible because I want to impress anybody. No, I'm not reading my Bible because I want to preach a message. No. You can preach a message by joining, getting your congregants. No. But I'm reading the Bible because I know that my destiny is hid in the scriptures. It's clear to me. But I said, a part of the joy is as a shining light. It shined brighter and brighter, even unto the perfect day. Praise the Lord. So his understanding, like I said, drove him to pray. Now, why did he pray and fast? I need to ask that question. Because whatever you see in the scriptures, it's not automatic. It can either be delayed or aborted. He understood the scriptures that the time for them to leave Babylon captivity had come, and yet nothing had happened. But he said he set his face to begin to fast and to pray by prayer and supplications unto God, confessing his sins and sins of his father and everything. Why? Because it is not automatic, folks. The fact that a prophesy over you, like Samson or like John the Baptist, does not mean it will come to pass, especially if you don't get the art of deep intercession. We need to learn. I'm not talking about just praying in tongues regularly. It's going to take deep intercession for us to fulfill our prophetic destiny. Why? We are trying to do greater than the Lord Jesus Christ did. And so how can you skip Hebrews chapter 5 verse 7? If he that had no sin had to pray with strong crying and tears, and he said we are going to do greater, can you do greater with less power? It's not possible. So it's going to take this. Why? I put it in the scripture. Psalm 115 verse 16. Psalm 115 verse 16. I said the, when you see those things in the Bible, it can be aborted. It can be delayed. It can be aborted in his own appointed time. Let's read. What does it say? The heaven, even the heavens are what? The Lord's. But the what? The earth, has it given to what? The children of men. So it depends on what the children of men do. They can hasten it. They can delay it. They can misbehave in such a way that the thing will pass over their generation. That not be a portion of Jesus. We see an example of Moses. It's a good example in the Bible. Moses delayed God's purpose for 30 good years. Don't say bad years. God had spoken Genesis chapter 15, verse 13. Genesis 15, verse 13. What does it say? God has spoken to Abraham. He says that, and he said unto Abraham, know of a surety, say surety, that is, nothing can change it, that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them, well, how many years? 400 years, say 400 years. Verse 14, let's continue reading. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance. Next verse. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. I think one more verse. 16. Next verse, please. But in the fourth generation, let's go. In the fourth generation, they shall do what? Come hither again. For the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. So we see here that God says they are going to spend 400 years. In the last generation, after 100 years from that scripture, so I'll bring them out. But look at this thought that comes to me. If you go to university, like I studied agriculture in Ife, it's a 5-year course. But if you don't take it, if you don't read, if you don't study, you can spend extra years. You can spend 7. If you even misbehave so badly, can, like we said, they will chuck you, send you out of university. Advice to withdraw, an advice that you cannot reject. But you see, the purpose was that this course, so as far as the curriculum is, it cannot take more than 5 years. And they will tell you what you can make. But if you don't take it to yourself, so also, but the first natural, then the spiritual. Now, what did Moses do? Exodus chapter 2, verse 11. Exodus 2, 11. We know that story. He saw two, one Egyptian and one Israelite fighting. And he killed the guy, you know, and then he hid him, you know, the story. And then he had to run away to the Midianites for his life. Are you following me? That means when he was about 370 years. That's when that thing occurred. 30 years before 400 years. Because we know that he said by the time he left, he was 40 years old. He spent 40 years in Midian's in his father-in-law's place. Then the last 40 when they came back. So he left. He did something. Allowed his flesh to rise up. To do what he wasn't supposed to do. So God had mercy on him. But it cost a whole nation 30 extra years. We see that in the book of Exodus chapter 12, verse 20. Just to put so I can understand that these things are not automatic. They can be delayed by what we do or don't do. Are you following me? Or it can even, can you imagine if he did something worse? He could have even killed him. Then God have to start looking for somebody again. And have to start all over again. 40 years gone down the drain. I said Exodus chapter 12 verse 20. Said now the sojourn of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 400 and what? 30 years. Next verse. Let's keep reading. Next verse. 41. And it came to pass at the end of 430 years, even the self same day, it came to pass that all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. Now, we are talking about saviors from Mount Zion. Those that God is trying to raise up. Because of Moses' mistake, some people that should have left Egypt died there. Don't tell them that Egyptians, Israelites didn't die in those 30 years. They died. So we are in a day, like I put in my note, that we must not allow our flesh to misbehave. Because it's the end time. The Bible says that the time is very short. We may not have another 30 years like Moses. So we cannot allow our flesh to rise up against us and allow us to misbehave. Like I gave this example just when we were sharing, that if you are going on a journey to Lagos, maybe for an interview somewhere in Oregon, is a place in Lagos, I know it's somewhere to the right, and then you miss the turn. You know, in Lagos, once you miss your turn, you can't turn back. You have to keep on going toward Mainland Bridge, you know, and then you are feeling sorry for yourself, and you get into the traffic jam of early morning traffic in Lagos, and then you are looking at the time, maybe the interview is supposed to be 9 o'clock, and you're already on the wrong road. And you can't turn back. You can't decide that, okay, I'll leave the car and run back. It's not possible. If God doesn't have mercy, it's either you get there late or you miss the entire appointment totally. Why? Because you did not walk circumspectly. You didn't stop to ask, is this the right turn or left? This simple illustration applies to everything in our lives. The person you marry, you don't want to go into a wrong relationship, then you have to suffer for another 4 years before you break relationship, then you're crying and now start praying again. Are you following me? That will not be a portion in Jesus' name. Or going to it, God wants you to be in Nigeria, then you run away somewhere. I'm not saying you shouldn't leave Nigeria, please. I'm just giving different examples. I'm talking about walking circumspectly, a barefooted spirit, not being too much in a hurry. The Lord told Carnegie something, just comes and mention it. He told him something. He said, I'd rather have you too slow than too fast. He said, because if you are too fast, you will not see what I'm doing. He said, I'd rather have you too slow behind me. So you always see me, even though you are slow. But the idea is to walk side by side with him. But as the Bible says, he that believes shall not make haste. So the best example that I have, you know, so Anna and Simeon, they understood Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14. So they kept on fasting and praying for about 60 years. We see Moses was a negative example. The Bible didn't say he was fasting and praying. Are you following? But we see Anna and Simeon, they kept fasting. They understood from the books also that Christ was to be born in their own generation. So they didn't just sit down and wish it to happen. I said, okay, God has said it, so it's going to happen. No, they were already getting old. They didn't have that much time again. So when they understood, they kept on fasting and praying for about 60 years, and we know the result. Lord Jesus Christ was born, and as we have been taught, it was the prayers of Anna and Simeon that God used to prefer Jesus Christ all about the age of 12. Before, or else, well, he didn't know, how can a 2-year-old boy know how to bind the devil? So you can see how covering comes in again. How we know how to confess. It was when, at the age of 4, he started getting an understanding of why. So at that time, I follow me, he was beginning to do those things himself. So covering took him to that period of time in his life. So it's very important for us. So like I said the other day, if Mary and Joseph are going to stand like this in front of God as Jesus' natural parents on earth, Simeon and Anna will stand as their spiritual parents. So you see again the truth there. It's difficult for you to fulfill your spiritual destiny under your natural parents alone. You need your spiritual parents, the Annas and Simeon, that are praying for you to grow to that age of 12 of accountability. I cannot begin to walk with God. Praise the Lord. So, why are we saying these things? It's about our nation, Nigeria. That's the burden I have in my heart. God has spoken so much about this nation, Nigeria. Pastor has thought of Isaiah chapter 18, verses 1 to 7. The land that the rivers do divide, we know. And yet it seems as if it's not going to come to pass. It seems as if I say, you look at the things that are going around. Zephaniah chapter 3, verses 8 to 20. Can we read that one? We know Isaiah. Zephaniah chapter 3, verses 8 to 20, please. Zephaniah 3, verses 8 to 20. Therefore, wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prayer, for my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdom to pour upon them my indignation. This is scripture mommy quotes, you know, ask for mercy when she's praying. Even all my fierce anger that is going on right now, the shaking, ongoing shaking, for all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. Next verse. For then will I turn to the people, because in this time of a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one consent. Next verse. For from beyond rivers of Ethiopia, my suppliants, even the daughter of my despise, shall bring my offering. Next verse. In that day shall thou not be ashamed for all thy doings. That means I have done terrible things before. Wherein thou hast transgressed against me, for then I will take away from out of the midst of thee them that rejoice in their pride, and thou shalt no more be haughty because of my holy mountain. Next verse. I will also live in the midst of thee an afflicted and a poor people, and shall trust in the name of the Lord. Next verse. I want to get to the last verse. The remnant of Israel, talking about the church now, not the natural nation of Israel, shall not do iniquity, nor speak lies, neither shall deceitful tongue be found in their mouth, for they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. Next verse. Sing, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. Next verse. Now, this is what I want us to see. The Lord had taken away thy judgments. He had cast out thy enemy, the king of Israel. Even the Lord is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt see evil. Thou shalt not see evil anymore. What is God saying? There's a scripture that says that I will give you praise and fame wherein you have been put to shame. Towards the end. So why would God say that? In Isaiah chapter 18, if you find it, there's a place that God puts the time in there. In Isaiah 18, it says that he will remove, cut off the pricks. If you ever may find it, he said he will cut off the pricks. You know, he said, Isaiah 18. I want to mention that there's a place in Isaiah 18. He said that God will cut off the pricks, you know, and all that. That's verse 5. Isaiah 18, verse 5, please. He had talked about, you know, a people tolerance of smooth skin. From beyond rivers, but I will raise up an ensign. Say, hear ye, you know, when they blow a trumpet, but they talk about the end time apostolic and prophetic movement that is going to start from this nation. Now, he now says, when this thing is going to occur, he said, for after the harvest, when the bud is perfect and the sour grape is ripening, talk about first fruits in the flower, he shall both cut off the sprigs with what? Pruning hooks and take away, cut down the branches. That talks about what God is going to do. Are you with me? Before he takes away our shame. That's what he's going to do. He's going to remove bad leadership from the nation. Have no doubt about that. If you follow that scriptures, sequentially, it says that he's going to raise up an ensign. You know, it says, for before the harvest, which harvest? The harvest of fruits, which is Passover. That's how I was talking about the first ripe grapes here. He said, he's going to cut them off and remove them. Other scriptures like Psalm 144, in 20, verse 11 to 15, say, read me of strange children, whose mouths speak vanity. Now says, the consequence of removal of those strange children is that our daughters will be as proud grown up in their youth, etc. Now, what I want to refer to today, because we are talking about the Daniel come that God is raising up. So we are not aware, we need to understand from the scriptures. I said, we need the consecration of Daniel to purpose and destiny. Now, read the scripture, not the scripture, a prophecy that was given by Pa Elton many years ago, which is actually coming to pass. He said, Nigeria and Nigerians will be known all over the world for corruption. Your name, Nigeria, will stink for corruption. But after a while, I can see in both Zephaniah, a new face will come. A face of righteousness. People from the nations of the earth will hold to a Nigerian and say, we want to follow you to your nation to go and learn righteousness. But what I want to see is this. It's going to come to pass when God's people begin to take prayer like Daniel seriously. So we have come to that time in the body of Christ that, Lord, the watchmen must begin to see eye to eye. Isaiah chapter 52, verses 8 to 9, Amplified Bible. That is, you are seeing the same thing that the leadership is seeing. Because when you begin to see the same thing, you begin to say the same things, and that will bring about a unity of the spirit who generates the sufficient power to do what God wants to do. You see, Daniel and his three other friends, they changed people. They disciplined Nebuchadnezzar. He removed Belteshazzar. He kept on changing. He didn't leave his position. Are you following me? So it's the same thing we have to. But what would have happened if Daniel had kept quiet and was glowing about the revelation that he had and didn't pray about it? Because the heart has God given to the sons of men. Isaiah 52, verse 8 in the Amplified Bible. Amplified Bible, please. It says, hark your watchmen, lift up their voices together. They shall sing for joy, for they shall see eye to eye. What? The return of the Lord to what? Zion. Verse 9. Break forth joyously. Sing together, you waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. Now, why did I bring that scripture in reference to Nigeria? It's very simple. What God told me. See, the problem that we are facing in Nigeria, nothing natural can solve it. It's going to take the return of the Lord to Zion, the manifestation of the sons of God, to deal with this armed banditry and all that is going on. If you could have solved it, you could have solved all the problems you had all the while. Most of us, we put our confidence in different presidents that are coming. No. God is waiting on you and I, our deliverance for this nation. God will put somebody there today. I won't mention their name. He will do something very good, then he will make a mistake again. He will hear that this one, God burn again in prison. God bring that from prison, puts him as president. Everybody's rejoicing. We have a born again Christian. You have a born again Christian. You have a born again Christian. Have you forgotten the book of Ecclesiastes that say, woe unto you, O land, when your king is a child and your princes eat for gluttony in the morning? Then they will go again, put another person there. And then the person is there. Okay, we thank God. He's a member of our church. He's going to do something. What has happened? What God is going to do is the manifestation of the sons of God that will break rule and disciple Nigeria. So we need to take our prayer, our confession, what we taught seriously. The earlier we do it, the better. So we can hasten the time. That's what is going to bring a permanent solution. Not all this one that will, will be okay. We need to leave the season of the judges. I got to raise up one, he will do something, then will fall. Raise up one, that's what we've been seeing. This one, Shamgar will come, we'll do this one. This one will come. No, we must get to the reign of David. Therefore, the reign of David, we now must understand on Solomon, where we establish the temple of God in this nation, Nigeria. Then God will fill it with glory. Praise the Lord. The last point I'm going to talk about is Job. Many of us don't like talking about Job because of the things that Job went through. Neither do I pray that it will happen to anybody, you, your family, everything in one day. But see, we need to be concerned about how God sees us. See, if you are not concerned about how God sees you, there are many things that will make you bow down. Maybe you are not married, and maybe you are too old. Then you are not able to pray again and say, oh God, what do you want Anna to say? You see, we need to have, I'm not saying don't get married. I'm not saying don't have children. But see, when you understand purpose, all those things, they just disappear. They're not important. You just push them aside. Now becomes a stepping stone. Because at the end of the day, folks, there's no marriage in heaven. No. Now they give birth to children in heaven. What I'm saying sounds funny to people. But I'm telling you, you need to have an understanding. What you have done if you are Job, for God's sake. The wife that is disturbing you, the one that one doesn't die. It is the children that you inherit that die. All your business collapse in one day. You see, when you have understanding, you see, when you have revelation of your purpose and destiny, it keeps you running. So you already signed to devil. You served devil a notice. But even though you slay me, yet will I serve him. I'm not saying that anything bad will happen. I'm not saying we shouldn't have children. Please, if you have to marry, please get married. Are you following me? It's God that gave. I said, when he did this, it was good. But that is not the ultimate. Because in this life we are in, at times those things may be delayed. At times they may not occur. So what are you going to do? Are you going to go into depression? No. I mentioned a story of, Lord help me, just come to my Catherine Coleman. You've heard that story before. She went and married the wrong person. She had a call on her life, but she knew. She was so happy. Everybody knew. Then she started working one so-called brother in our fellowship. Guy was supposed to be an evangelist or so. And people were wondering, I said, this guy you are going out with using that term or you're engaged to, you know, it's not. She said no. She said no. This is the person I'm going to marry. Those that were with her on the day of the wedding said the day she married and she got back to the house, the first thing she said was, yay, I've missed God. Something like that. She knew she had missed God. From that day to the time that they separated, it was horror. But she didn't have to go through that. Now, when she now got to the stage where she now said she was walking down the alley one day and said, Lord, if there's anything in my life that I can use it. They're going to pick that up. Now, the question is this. Didn't God want her to marry the right person? Of course God wanted her. But the two are better than one. But she entered the wrong relationship and wanted, is it God's fault? Won't God have spoken to her? Why would God allow, if you have a natural child, and the child is going to fall into the ditch? And you will, no, no, no. God must have put to her. But at that period, she must have been a bit dishonest. She didn't want to hear. As some people, they make up their mind, no, this is what I'm going to do. God speaks once, yeah, twice, yeah, my man perceive, you know. And people say, no, look, bros, hey, boy, this guy is not the right person. No, no, no. But what I'm saying is this, she came out of it. And God started using him. But best not have been for him to have, she have waited. God knew the right person. Doesn't matter whether the person didn't come at that time or was late for 5 years. But at that exact time, she would have filled her destiny without stress. Without stress. Maybe it would have been just 5 years wait. Without stress. We have other examples in the Bible. Elimelech. Uncle. There was a family line. So, ah, no, we can't tolerate all this nonsense again. Let's travel out. So they relocated. So they relocated. I'm not saying don't relocate. If God tells you to relocate. But don't leave your place. If God says stay, you better stay. I follow him because the same people that left, they came back empty. And meanwhile, Boaz was there. How come those that stayed, did the famine affect them? So those are the things we are talking about. Praise the Lord. I didn't intend to mention that. But let's get back to Job. Job delivered his friends from by forgiveness and praying for him. Job chapter 42, verse 10. Job chapter 42, verse 10. Job 42, verse 10. What does he say? And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. So he had to forgive his friends. Can you imagine? After all he went through, his children died. I follow him. The only person that could have comforted him was his wife. That one said, curse God and die. Like I said the other day, the reason why, you now understand why he made a mistake. Oh, he was doing ceremonial sacrifices instead of keeping spiritual law as we've been taught. But, excuse me, you can understand why he was praying the prayer he was praying for his children. He said, about saying, we'll make sacrifices for them, lest they curse God in their heart. So these children, those children took after their mother. What was their mother that said, curse God now and die? The children took after their mother. So anyway, the children died, the business, everything crashed and everything. But the Bible talks about the patience of Job. What is the patience of Job? I'm talking about the forgiveness and the patience of Job. In spite of what people said, they criticized his friends that were supposed to support him in that time of trouble. Can you imagine? They were criticizing him. Said, Job, there must be something in your life. People that have been envious of his prosperity before. Because I said, there must be. We said it. Job, we said it. No, we said it. All the hidden things that I've been keeping under, it just came out. I'm amazed at times as when people stumble and you see people just say something. Say, ah, where did this one come from? I've been telling you. I'm wondering, what have you been telling me? I'm telling you, this thing will get you, but now it's gotten you into trouble. You see now, I'm wondering, so this is what you've been thinking all the time. Instead of you praying for me, this is what you have been thinking about. That's what happens most times. You need to be careful. So you know what happened to Job? Bible talks about the forgiveness and the patience of Job. What does it mean? The patience of Job leads to the manifestation of the life of God in our mortal flesh. I will explain what I mean by that. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 10 to 11. Like Pastor has taught us. He said that, he said, we always bear in our body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the life of God also be made manifest in our mortal flesh. You know, Job felt sick and everything. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12. talks about those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. Now, let's go to James chapter 5. Because there the Bible talks about the patience of Job. It talks about the patience that we have to endure to the end to receive God's salvation in this end time. But I found it very interesting that when God was talking about this issue of patience, he was talking about the husbandman waiting patiently for the precious fruit of the earth. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 7. Sorry, James chapter 5 verse 7. Thank you. Be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waited for the precious fruit of the earth and had long patience for it until he received the early and the what? Latter in verse 8. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth near. So in that context, go to verse 11. 11. It says, and I said, behold, we count them happy who endure. You have heard of the patience of Job, and I have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. That is, Job never gave up concerning, as it applies to us, the purposes of God. Everything looked bleak. You know, he inherited double. When God turned his captive, we are trusting God for a double portion of the Spirit of God. So Bible says that Job endured. Bible says those that endure to the end shall be saved. Now, what did Job experience? Job chapter 12, Job verse 9, chapter 19, verse 26. Sorry. Job 19, verse 26. In the midst of all the chaos that was going around him, when God was laughing at him, he always said, and though after my skin worms destroy this. Once destroyed this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. That is life in the mortal flesh, applying to what we're expecting now. As I don't care what is going on, you may be feeling sick in your body, and doctors might say this is not possible again, but endure like Job. Bible says, to those who through patience, faith and patience inherit the promise, God has promised that the life of God made manifest in our mortal flesh. Look at what Job went through. Everything did not look like it at all. But the key was in Job. He said, even if you slay me, yet will I serve him. So he stood his ground. Are you following me? Until what? God turned around his captivity. Now, Bible says the end of Job was better than the beginning. The Bible says that the better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. So our latter days will be greater than our former if we don't give up. I don't think anybody has ever gone through what Job went through in this life. We'll not go through it in Jesus' name. But see, he was so sick, you know, boils over his body. Those that were supposed to support him, probably take him to the hospital. They were laughing at him. Bible says he was lying on the ground and all that. Only one person spoke well, Elihu, that spoke well to him out of all his friends. By the end of the day, this is what Job said in the midst of the tribulation. Say, though after my skin, worms destroyed this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. He didn't see God just when he died and went to heaven. He saw God in his flesh when God healed him. Praise the Lord. So very important for us is that. So what would be my Job? Say, we do this by daily giving people in our daily interaction with them, or when in our minds we see them sin by washing their feet as we ask for life, and then while we patiently wait for the precious fruit of the earth. So how do we do what Job did? We forgive people. We see people every day. And following, we ask life for them. So we don't allow unforgiveness to keep us bound. And then when we ask for life for them, that way we are helping ourselves. And then ultimately when we give life, God gives back to us. Are you following me? So we can experience the life of God being made manifest in our lives. That speaks about our daily walk in the Spirit. So we look at it critically. We talked about Noah. Noah was choosing the fear of God. I divided it into three things. The summary of the message is, why is it important? God wants us to know that he can save ourselves and our family, our household. I can also save our nation through us. That's what we want to do. I also want to save those that are under us. Not necessarily your family now. Those that you are working with and all that. You know Cornelius, he assembled everybody into his house. Those that knew and didn't understand. But because of the virtue, the fact that they were under him, they were saved. So that's the reason for this message. God wants to save us and our household, our nation, Nigeria, and those under the sphere of our influence. How is he going to do this as we close? It's very simple. It's as we daily choose the fear of God, like Noah, to build the ark of love, which is very important. We've spoken about that extensively. And then secondly, by daily praying with deep intercession with groanings, like Daniel did. Praying with all kinds of prayer in the spirit. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 7. You know, Ephesians 6, 18, Galatians 4, 9. Say, my literal whom I'm traveling about, you know, until Christ before me. You need that also. I follow me. And then also by washing our feet through forgiveness. And then as we patiently wait for the coming of the Lord in perfection and in glory. So these are the three things we need to do. We need the reverential fear of Noah. We need the consecration of Daniel to spend quality time in place of prayer and study of the word. And then we also need the patience of Job, never to give up. Keep walking in the spirit until we experience the life of God in our mortal flesh. Let's bow down and talk to the Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let's bow down and talk to God. Let's ask God to help us. Let's ask for fresh mercy and grace. Don't let's give up. Bible says, those that endure unto the end shall be saved. It's those that endure. Salvation is always at the end. Don't let's give up. Let's trust God. Let's daily use the things that have been given. Choose the fear of God. Build that ark daily so you can save yourself and your household and those that hear you. Then from there, move to intercession. You can join Good Morning Jesus prayers every morning. Pray with deep intercession so you can do something about this nation, Nigeria. And then finally, walk in forgiveness. Two people you see every day, you know, so that God can turn your captivity. Turn a captive in Nigeria so we can be like them that dream. Let's stand to our feet. Please let's sing that song.
We say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. We say yes, Lord, yes, we will trust you and obey. As your spirit speaks to us, we are whole.
To heaven as we pray. They say, Lord, please have mercy on us. And so we receive your blood to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We receive your life and your power in sufficient measure as we pray now. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today, reminding me of the reverential fear of Noah, the consecration of Daniel, and the forgiveness and patience of Job. I come to receive fresh mercy and grace in sufficient measure, to daily choose the fear of the Lord, to enable him to perfect God's love, and to daily pray with all kinds of prayer in the Spirit, and also to be diligent in my work in the Spirit, so that I can save myself, my household, and those under the sphere of my influence, and also save our nation Nigeria. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in tongues. Father, we thank you. Lord Jesus, thank you. Holy Spirit, thank you. Father, we thank you. Lord Jesus, thank you. In Jesus' name. Lord, have mercy on us, so we receive your blood to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.